Hello, this is Brother Thurman again, and we're going to be talking about the assurance of salvation. I welcome you to this recording, and thank you for tuning in and wanting to learn more about the Word of God. Not that I'm some kind of special teacher or even close to it, but I love the Word of God, and the Lord's allowed me to be able to know a little bit about His Word, the Bible says that we ought to grow up in the Lord that we might be able to help others and teach others. So I'm giving it a shot, and I'm hoping that you're enjoying it and that you're learning the Word of God and that you're being encouraged by it. The assurance of salvation, we'll get right into it. The assurance of salvation is something, remember, that Satan is going to try to keep you from having. And he's going to battle against it, and if he can do it and you'll listen to him, he's going to try to talk you out of your salvation and out of your Bible. And he's going to try to get you as far away from that Bible in your life as he possibly can. That's one of the problems in Christianity today, is that people aren't reading their Bibles anymore. They're not spending any time at all in the Word of God, and the Word of God is everything. The Word of God is our strength. It's our identity. People don't know who they are, having to get on psychotic medication to figure out who they are and don't know who they are anymore. That's because they're not in their Bibles. The Bible's the one. The Word of God is what gives us our identity through Jesus Christ. It's absolutely true. We are nobody without Jesus. We're lost in a world, a dying world, and we're waiting to go back to the grave. And if we don't accept Jesus as our Savior, we're going to end up in hell. And that's the bottom line. But the Bible is our hope, and the Bible is everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything. The assurance of salvation is something that the Lord wants you to have, and we talked about what is meant by the assurance of salvation, if you remember. We talked also about why do I need the assurance of salvation, because it brings joy and comfort, confidence before God. It brings comfort of heart, and it also makes us stable in our walk with the Lord and in life in general. The Word of God makes everything better, even for the lost people. You find in the Scriptures when you're reading, even the lost people that honored the Word of God had better lives. They even said it with their own mouths. Remember when, I think it was Joseph, or Jacob, whenever he was working for his father-in-law said that he said, when you're around, he said, my business does good. And he got mad when he got ready to leave. Remember that? But the assurance of salvation. What's the basis for the assurance of our salvation? We said that the person of God is the basis of our salvation, and the promises of God is the basis of our salvation, because the Bible says so. And the presence of, the very presence of God in our life is the basis of our salvation. Then we moved into another part of this assurance of salvation study, and we talked about a little bit about how may I know that I'm saved? How may I know that I'm saved? Well, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's 1 John 5:13. And I didn't give you any of these scriptures last time, but I promised you that I'd give them to you this time, and I will. One reason, how may I know that I'm saved? Well, the first thing that we went over was, I know that I'm saved because, remember how we was doing it? I was going to read the sentence to you and then the scripture, and you fill in the sentence, and we're just going to work this thing together. I know I'm saved because I blank on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 16, verse 31, because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember? Okay, the next one was, I know that I'm saved because I blank the Son. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So I know I'm saved because I hath the Son. Do you have the Son? Then you have eternal life, and you have assurance of salvation. You don't have to worry about that. letter. All right. The next one was, I know that I'm saved because I have a love for the blank. What was that? You remember? A love for the brethren. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not the not his brother abideth in death. That's not always talking about getting along with everybody, because we don't get along. That's life. Sometimes it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And it says, especially the brotherhood, do good to all men, especially the brotherhood. Okay. And, but one, we have a abiding love of Christ that's in us that doesn't leave us after we've been born again. And it's Christ's love, not the world's kind of love, but Christ's love that gives us the ability and the want to, and, to love our brethren, to love our brethren. Now here's the next one. I know that I'm saved because I desire to keep God's blank. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I know that I'm saved because I desire to keep God's commandments. Do you desire that? You should. The more you're in God's Word, and the more you're around God's people, the more you will. The more you. The Bible says, "He that." Well, you got to know what the Bible says before you try to say it. But the Lord says that he that seeketh findeth. So when you start seeking God on purpose, the Lord will reveal himself to you more and more and more. And you will start desiring to keep God's words and wanting to. Remember when you first got born again, and the first love that you had with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you wanted to do, you didn't know why, you didn't know how, you didn't know what, you didn't know nothing. All you knew was that you wanted to do God's Word, and you still do. Well, as we mature in the Lord, that becomes more real. And the more we know about the Lord, and the more we learn about the Word of God, the more our desire to grow, to be with the Lord, and to be like the Lord. So the next one. I know that I'm saved because I desire to turn from the blank and all of its lusts, and do the blank, blank, blank. That was the one we had all the blanks in, remember? 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. I know that I'm saved because I desire to turn from the world and all of its lusts, and do the will of God. Do the will of God. Absolutely. Okay, and I think we left off there, so let's go ahead and move into the next one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I know that I'm saved because I blank the world, because I am overcoming the world. That's something that helps us. How may I know I'm saved? Because I'm overcoming the world. The things that I didn't have any control over or power over anymore, I'm beginning to start having power over them. I'm beginning to be able to overcome these things with the Lord's help, and with the brethren's help, and with the Word of God, and all the advantages that I have now in the Lord. I'm able to overcome these things. Some things the Lord has just taken away from me right away, and some things it's taken years and years and years to work on. But nevertheless, I'm overcoming, and so are you. The next one, how may I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because I have blank of the Spirit within. 1 John 5:10 says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. I think we even did it all the way down to here, didn't we? I know I'm saved because I have the blank of the Spirit within. Remember what that was? I have the blank of the Spirit within. I have the witness of the Spirit within. And we talked about that. If you are born again in God the Holy Ghost, and when I say if, I'm not trying to propose a doubt in you. I'm just, that just seems like the best word to use right now. So anyway, but if you don't, I'm not trying to make that. When I say if, I just in well, whatever, you understand what I'm saying. I know I'm saved because I have the witness of the Spirit within. Okay, and the next one is, I know I'm saved because I blank that. Now, here's a blank. I know I'm saved because I blank that. Blank, blank, and blank on. And listen to this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Okay, I know I'm saved because I blank that blank blank is blank blank blank. Let's go ahead and just I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the answer there. I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of hereby." Know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you tell if it's the Spirit of God or whether it's not the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Is of God. I know I'm saved because I confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Come in the flesh. Can you confess that? In another place, the Scripture says that you, the Spirit of God, that no spirit that is not of God can confess that Jesus is the Lord. That Jesus is the Lord. Devils can't say that. Unclean spirits can't say that. Lost people can't say that. But saved people can say it. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Is the Lord. Can you say it? Say it. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. Okay, the next one. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I believe the blank that God gave of blank blank. 1 John 5:10, we talked about that. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. I know I'm saved because I believe the record that God gave of his Son. And what's the record? It's that book that you hold in your hand. The record, the recorded written words of God himself. Written down by, spoken by men and written by men, but inspired by God the Holy Ghost. Okay, I know I'm saved because I blank the blank blank. 1 John 5:13 says, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay, I know I'm saved because I blank the blank blank. 1 Peter 1, we'll just add another scripture to that. 1 Peter 1:23 says, Being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I mean, does it get any plainer than that? I know I'm saved because I know I'm saved because I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And lastly here, let's do this one. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Okay, according to that verse right there, what lets us know that we're saved? I know I'm saved because I am honest with the Lord about my sins and blank, blank, blank to Him. I confess my sins to Him. Then He forgives me and what? Cleanses me. He forgives me and cleanses me. That's what the Word of God says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know I'm saved because I am honest with the Lord about my sins and I confess my sins to Him. Then He forgives me and cleanses me of all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad God does that, and He does it every time that you confess your sins to Him. He promises, and it says that He's faithful and just to do it. He's faithful and just to do it. Listen to this. It's entitled, God would be the Greater Loser. The old Scottish lady was right. When she was visited by a very young minister who was short on experience, she held fast to her firm assurance of her safety in Christ. But just suppose that after all, God should let you sink into hell, said the minister. And then the lady says, He would lose more than I would, came the firm answer to faith. All I would lose would be my soul, but He would lose His good name. You see there? That's how important she had it, and she had it right, because that's how important God's Word is to God's Word. God's keeping His Word because of who He is, not because of who you are. God's keeping His Word because of who He is. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful, and that's the way we should be. You know, there was a time in the United States when people could do things on a handshake. You didn't have to sign your name 500 times. For a little bitty old $10 loan or something like that. You didn't have to do that. You just shook hands, you gave them your word, and you said, here's my hand on it, and you can count on that. And people were known by their word. Some people are still known by their word, and Christians ought to be known by their words. When the same as the Lord is known by His words, Christians ought to be known by their words. Talking about the assurance of salvation. And we just got through talking about how may I know I'm saved. A lot of reasons in the scriptures that tell us that we can, how we can know that we're saved. I mean, we've just went over about 10 or 12 or 15 of them there. And just by them alone, you shouldn't have any doubts of your salvation. I know I'm saved. And I can know I'm saved. And God's will is for me to know I'm saved. And I don't have to worry about it. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about is what brings assurance of salvation in my life. Is there certain things that I can control, and certain things that that are in my life and around my life that'll help me have assurance of salvation in my life? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You see that business? You can see just by listening to him, can't you? In John 8:44 it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know whose words those are? The Lord Jesus Christ. What brings assurance in my life? What brings assurance into my life? Well, here's some ways you can get assurance. And some ways that we have just a little bit more control over our assurance. Some ways you can get assurance and deepen your assurance in what God has said and what He has done for you. Your salvation is based upon what God has said, not upon how you think or how you feel. Some days you might be doubting God, you might be tempted to doubt God's word. Well, just because you are tempted to doubt God's word, and you might even doubt God's word, but that doesn't change what God has done. That doesn't change God's word, and that doesn't change what He said He's already done. Your salvation is based upon what God has said, not upon how you think or how you feel. So it's important for you to read and study your Bible. The first way that you can bring assurance of salvation into your life is to learn the Word of God. Learn that book. That's the whole mission of a Christian after he's been born again, is to learn God's Word and learn God's mind about what God thinks about things. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." God's word not only gives us assurance of salvation, but it teaches us the whole area of salvation, all the way from the east, all the way from the west, all the way from the north to the south. Every part of salvation, like when we begin this study and we were talking about the three tenses of salvation, the Word of God, the more you learn it, even the smallest details give pieces of your salvation and how it's all put together in God's plan of how He saved you. And you begin to see that. And you'll begin to be reassured, and your assurance of your salvation will become stronger because of you knowing the Word of God. Another way that we can bring assurance into our life, assurance of salvation into our life, is to thank God for His gift of salvation. Have you thanked Him for your salvation yet? People don't say thank you for something that they don't believe that they have, or something that they have not been given. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Salvation is a gift, and if you have salvation, you have been given a gift. According to Romans 6:23, what we just read, you have received the gift of what? Eternal life. Have you thanked God for it yet? Thanksgiving is evidence of faith. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." Have you thanked Him? Thanks is evidence of faith that's been exercised. You're not going to thank God for eternal life if you don't think you have it or that you've been given it. Have you thanked Him yet? That's something that we should do every time we think of it. Lord, thank You for saving me. Thank You for letting me be part of Your family. Thank You for not being ashamed to be my God. Thank You for not being ashamed to be my God. Thank You for giving me permission not to be ashamed to be Your son. The Bible says, "For whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." We're not supposed to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be ashamed to be a Christian. We're not supposed to walk around with our tail between our legs like an old scared dog or something, running around just scared to death of everything and everybody because I'm a Christian. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Another way that what brings assurance of salvation into my life is to make a public testimony before others. When you do that, that's like, for instance, when you go to church and you have that invitation at the end of the church service, or whenever the pastor chooses or the Holy Ghost leads, just for the sake of it, you ought to step out of that aisle and walk down there and tell the pastor that you'd like to address your brothers and sisters. And when the pastor gives you the floor, you ought to tell them I've been born again, and I want to publicly announce Jesus Christ as my Savior and thank Him publicly and let all y'all know that I'm on my way to heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. And you'd be surprised how encouraging that would be to everybody and how it will assure you and your assurances, your salvation in your life will grow and become stronger because of a public confession, a public testimony. Have you told someone that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ yet? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." Isn't that wonderful? It says the relationship between confessing Christ and your assurance is there's a relationship there. That if you say that you're born again, and you are born again, there's some there's a desire in you to confess it, In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." A public confession, a public testimony. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's part of your salvation. Getting saved is confessing. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth. And that'll give you assurance of salvation. When the enemy's running you down and telling you that you're fake and that you didn't mean what you said and that none of it's true and all that, this next person you run into, tell them publicly. Just say, "Listen, I want to share some good news with you. You know what the Lord done for me? He saved my soul." And tell them how you got saved just real briefly and watch the devil take to running. Watch him flee. One way you can confess Christ publicly is to come forward in the invitation in one of your church services. You know, the pastor would be glad to let you do something like that. Probably be proud of you. And so everybody else would also. Another way that brings assurance of salvation in our life and helps strengthen our assurance is to attend church services as much as possible. Now, fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ does encourage you, especially when the truth is there. And it ain't one of these Laodicean places that just playing and putting on a big theatrical show during services. But there is God the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is running the service. And that's what it's all about. That is very special. And it is encouraging and helpful to the assurance of your salvation. Many of them have experienced some doubts and you can talk with them and you'll hear other people give testimonies and it'll encourage you. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, the Bible wouldn't have said that if it wasn't necessary for us to, it doesn't command us. It says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's the whole reason we assemble, is so we can exhort one another, we can encourage one another, we can assure one another that we are about the truth, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." How much assurance God wants you to have? Full assurance. He wants you absolutely full of it. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Clean on the outside, clean on the inside. That's the way the Lord wants it. And one other here. What is a way that we can strengthen the assurance of our salvation that we're talking about? It brings assurance of salvation in our lives is to live a righteous life. Don't be a fake. If you're going to live in the world, get out there in the world and do whatever you want to do because you're going to pay for it. The Lord's going to tear your hind end up, and He's not going to let you embarrass Him or embarrass His Son. He's adopted you into the family, and He takes His fatherhood very seriously. If you're going to go out and play, you're going to pay for it. Sin is good for a season, the Bible says, but it brings forth death. And the Lord said that if you get bad enough, and you get bad enough being a disobedient child, He'd turn you over to the flesh and let your flesh get destroyed so he can bring you on to heaven. Or He might just take you out early. It's happened, and it does happen. But to live a righteous life, you ought to live a righteous life because you want to, not because you have to. You ought to live a righteous life because of what Jesus has done for you, because of your appreciation for your Savior. Sometimes a full assurance does not come until God sees that you mean business with Him. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." So according to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Peace and assurance is based upon believing God's promises, not your feelings. Not your feelings. We don't trust in our feelings, and we don't trust in our thoughts. Those things we don't trust in what we think. We trust in what God has said. Isn't that good stuff? It's good stuff, isn't it? All right, well, we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these scriptures. What brings assurance of salvation? Now, I'm going to go over these scriptures about the other one. How may I know I'm saved? And I'll just give them all to you. Are you ready? Here they are. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 3:24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Oops. Well, you won't have no trouble reading it. You'll memorize it. You keep reading it like that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Okay, and these, remember I told you these go parallel with one another in our study. So what brings assurance of our salvation? We start the scriptures on that. Here they are. John chapter 8, verse 44. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And one more. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. Okay. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening in. What brings assurance of salvation into my life? Learn the Word of God. Thank God for His gift of salvation. Make a public testimony before others. Attend church services as much as possible and be around other Christians. And live a righteous life. Well, it's been a good day. And we've been over a lot of Scripture. And that's the whole purpose of us doing this, is to know what God says. The assurance of salvation is a wonderful thing. I'm glad to be studying it, ain't you? All right, talk to you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.